If we were this morning to ask, what are the steps in the gospel plan of salvation? Many individuals would be able to answer that question. Even young children can be taught what those steps are. They would begin by saying something like this: you must first hear the gospel. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They say that then you must believe, step number two. And that which you must believe is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. For Jesus said, "For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." John 8:24. The third step, they would tell us, is to repent of sins. We have to change. We have to quit sinning and now live a life that is dead to sin. And if we don't, we will all perish. Luke 13:3. I tell ye nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The fourth step is to be courageous and bold enough to come confessing your faith in Jesus before men. Romans 10:9-10. That final step is one of great faith, apparently. For it involves one being baptized, that is, immersed in water for the remission of his sins. Romans 6:3-4. Acts 22:16. Now, if we were to stop right there, there might be someone who would say, "Hang on, Vic. Wait a minute, preacher. You've missed one." And I'd look at them and I'd say, "Well, what is the step that I've missed?" And they would say something like this: "You've got to be faithful unto death." And they would not be wrong, would they? Revelation 2:10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." For the next few moments, I want us to stop and I want us to contemplate that last characteristic, faithfulness. We're going to be looking this morning at three different points. The first point is this: God desires our faithfulness. We've already read Revelation 2:10, haven't we? "Be thou faithful." Folks, that is a direct command. That is not an option. Now notice he tells us how long we are to be faithful. "Be thou faithful unto death." Note it doesn't say until death. It says unto death. Unto the very moment of death itself. To the very point that I draw my last breath and close my eyes in sleep. Be faithful. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4:2, "Moreover, it is required in servants that a man be found faithful." You and I are stewards of the gospel of Christ. You and I not only are to preach that gospel, but you and I are to live that gospel, and in that, you and I are to be faithful in that trust. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. In Revelation, the 17th chapter, 10 kings are mentioned. And these 10 kings are going to do war, make war, with the Lamb of God. Notice what is said in Revelation 17:14. "And they made war with the Lamb of God, and the Lamb of God overcame them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that were with him," that is the Lord of lords, "and they that were with him were called and chosen and faithful." It's interesting, isn't it? My friends, if you and I want to stand victorious with the Lamb of God, then you and I are not only going to have to be called, we're not only going to have to be chosen, but we're going to have to be what? Faithful as well to stand by His side. God desires faithfulness. I know that He desires my faithfulness because it is the faithful that He is going to reward. Proverbs 29:10 says, the faithful man shall abound with blessings. Just a moment ago, Larry stood and he read from Matthew, the 25th chapter, a very familiar parable, is it not? The parable of the talents. In that context, we find the Lord of those servants coming back. And there are two servants who stand before Him, and they are commended, are they not? Not only are they commended, but they are rewarded. Do you remember what He said to them? He says the exact same thing to the five-talent man and the two-talent man. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Verse 21 and verse 23. God rewards faithfulness. Folks, God desires, God longs for. He wants us to be faithful individuals in His cause. Now, the question is this, and this is point number two. What is faithfulness? The literal definition of the word is very, very simple. It is the state of being, watch this, full of faith. That's what it means to be faithful. An individual who is full of faith, you just take the word faithful, turn it around. A man who is full of faith is a faithful person. That doesn't tell us a whole lot, does it? When you go back into the Old Testament and you look into the New Testament, there are two words that talk about what it means to be faithful. One of the words in the Hebrew is emunah, E-M-U-N-A-H. It's translated faithfulness or faithful in the Old Testament. The word means this, to be firm, to be established, steadfast, trustworthy. David understood what it means to be faithful. When you turn to Psalm 57, verse 7, listen to what he says. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed that I might sing and praise Thee. What did he say? My heart is fixed. Folks, a faithful individual is firm. A faithful individual is rooted. A faithful individual is grounded. A faithful individual is steadfast. A faithful individual cannot be moved to and fro by the winds of everything that comes along. That individual stands and he stands and he stands. My heart is fixed, David says. That's what a faithful man is. A fixed individual. When you turn to the New Testament, the Greek word is pistos. P-I-S-T-O-S. That is the word that is translated faithful. What does that mean? It simply means this. One who is trustworthy. Thayer expands upon that definition. And I find his definitions very, very interesting. One who is trustworthy in the execution of financial transactions. One who faithfully executes commands. One who responsibly carries out his duties. There's a man of faith, folks. He continues by saying that the definition is an individual who can be relied upon. One who is trustworthy. An individual who keeps his plighted faith is trustworthy, according to Thayer. I want you to think about all these definitions that we've been reading. What do we learn from those definitions? There's two huge things that we learn. The first thing that we learn is this. An individual is not faithful just because he thinks he is faithful. I find that interesting, don't you? Folks, let me tell you something. It is not enough for you simply to name the name of Christ. It is not enough for you to say, you know, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That in and of itself does not make you faithful. Now watch this. You are not faithful because you think you're faithful. There's where we've got a lot of problems in the church today. We've got a lot of individuals who believe they're faithful. In their mind, they think they are. And guess what? They are just as unfaithful as they possibly can be. But in their mind, they think they're faithful. Folks, faithfulness is not a mental state. It is not. Faithfulness involves action. Faithfulness involves motion. Faithfulness involves doing. Go back and read Thayer's expanded definition of what it means to be faithful. Listen to some of the words that he used. One who executes. One who discharges. One who can be relied upon. One who is trustworthy. An individual who is faithful is a doer. That's what faithfulness is. In fact, when you go back to Matthew, the 24th chapter, verses 45 and 46, that is the very definition of faithfulness that Jesus gives unto us. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? There's the question, folks. Whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Jesus is asking the question, who is faithful? Who is a wise servant? What's the answer? Verse 46. Blessed is that servant whom, when his Lord cometh, shall find him so doing. There's the faithful and wise servant. Not the one who's sitting in his recliner at home going, ooh, I think I'm faithful. That's not the faithful and wise servant. Not the one who 20 years ago confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and hasn't done anything for the next 20 years. That's not the faithful and wise servant. The faithful and wise servant is the one who, when his Lord comes again, finds him doing. That's faithfulness, folks. That's faithfulness. I want to take it just a step further. Faithfulness is not just a church term. Faithfulness is not just a church term. Now, isn't that the way we often apply the word? An individual is faithful if he attends Bible class on Sunday morning, AM worship, Sunday evening worship, Wednesday night Bible study. Faithful, especially if he gives a little. An individual is faithful if he can raise his hand and say, I'm a DBR, a daily Bible reader. He's faithful. A faithful individual is one who prays regularly, constantly, steadfastly. A daily Bible reader is one who picks and chooses from all the programs of the church and he participates in two or three of those. There's faithfulness. A faithful individual is one who picks up his Bible and studies it every day, who visits the hospitals, who calls on his brethren who are hurting occasionally. That's a faithful person. And folks, let me tell you something. I'm not trying to minimize any of those things. You don't do those things, you're not faithful. It's just that simple. You are not faithful. My point is this. That is not the only place wherein faithfulness is judged. Faithfulness involves my home life. Faithfulness involves my going home and talking to Kathleen and how I talk to her and how I treat her. Faithfulness involves how I react to my children when they've done things wrong, how I discipline those children, how I bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. All that involves faithfulness. Faithfulness is involved in my work. giving a good day's work for a good day's pay. Being upright, being honest with those individuals with whom I have business transactions. That is a part of my faithfulness. Faithfulness involves me on the recreational field, does it not? When a bad call is made, and I'm on a ball team, how I respond to that referee who made that bad call, the things that I say, my demeanor, how I behave, that's part of my faithfulness, folks. My faithfulness involves how I react and how I relate to other individuals. You ever gone to Walmart, got in the express lane and took 20 minutes? I'd drive you about bats, won't it? Drive you crazy. You're sitting there tapping your feet. Heard a guy the other day said, "Yeah, I got one question for you. Why don't you open up some more cashiers?" I thought I'd die. And I wasn't me. You go down to the post office early in the morning, guess what? They got one person there. And you got half of Atlantic Beach wanting to do postal business. And you're wondering, where did they get this woman? She's slow as Christmas. And just makes you sick. Have you ever had somebody cut you off in traffic? And what you say to them and how do you respond to them? Something doesn't go right, folks. Our relationships with other people is part of our faithfulness. Isn't it a shame that we act in such ways that if that individual knew that we are a Christian, a child of God, they would have said, "I don't believe it." That's a shameful way to behave. It's an ungodly way to behave. It's an unfaithful way of behaving. Folks, faithfulness involves what I do when I'm alone, when I'm by myself, when I'm just resting. Doesn't it? Faithfulness is not a 1 or 2 hour a day thing. Faithfulness is not a 1 or 2 action thing. My friends, when we're talking about faithfulness, we're talking about a way of life that we live from the time we rise until the time we retire at night and go to bed. We're talking about making God involved in every nook and every cranny of our life. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about our thoughts. We're talking about our actions. We're talking about our words. Everything is governed by God Almighty. We are talking about ditching my will, my wants, my desires, and asking God, "God, what is it that you want of me?" That is faithfulness, folks. That's faithfulness. So we talk about, are we faithful? Oh yes, we can look at our service to the church. And that's a pretty good indicator in many times of what an individual is going to do outside the church, isn't it? But not always. We can put on a show here. It can look good. We can be the actor, the stage player, the hypocrite, the Bible says. And we can go beyond these four walls. We can go beyond this community. And we can live just as unfaithfully as any other individual. Faithfulness is a way of life that conforms itself completely to the will of the Almighty God. That's faithfulness. That leads me to point number 3. It is possible for us to cease being faithful. Doesn't the Bible warn about that? Hebrews 3, beginning at verse 12, "Wherefore, brethren, beware, take heed, Lest any of you suffer from an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence firm until the end. My friends, you could have obeyed the gospel 20 years ago, and then for some reason or another, 1 month ago, you decided, I'm not going to live faithfully anymore. I'm not going to be steadfast anymore. And your heart becomes hardened by sin, and you can fall away from the truth, and you'll be just as lost as you can be in the last day. It is possible to cease being faithful. The one talent man wasn't faithful, was he? That one talent man came before his Lord and he was addressed in this manner, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." He reaped the punishment, did he not? "Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Here's a man given one talent, given the same opportunities as the five-talent man, the two-talent man, and yet he didn't use those talents. He didn't use those abilities. He was not pronounced faithful, was he? Judas, he was chosen, selected by the Christ to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Lived with our Lord, dined with Him, walked with Him, heard His messages. And yet he allowed covetousness to rule and reside in his heart. And here is a man who fell from his apostleship. Acts 1, verse 22 through 24. What about Ananias and Sapphira? Individuals converted to Christ, individuals living faithful, godly lives, as far as we can tell. Got caught up in the selling of the land and donating the money, and yet they lied about the portion that they were going to give to the first century church. And immediately the sentence of death was pronounced upon them. Acts 5, 1 through 11. Unfaithful. Hymenaeus and Alexander, condemned by the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 1, 19 and 20. Paul told Timothy, holding faith and a good conscience, from which some, having swerved concerning faith, have been shipwrecked, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Two disciples, delivered to whom? Delivered to Satan. Why? Because they were making shipwreck of the faith. You see, I can depart. Demas loved this present world, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Diotrephes loved to have the preeminence, 3 John verses 9 and 10. My friends, an individual can cease being faithful. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 12. My friends, you are not the standard of faithfulness. I'm faithful because I think I'm faithful. Proverbs 20, verse 6 plainly says that every man can declare his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? Pretty powerful, isn't it? Well, it's easy for me to set up my own standard. It's easy for me to set up my own requirements of faithfulness. It's easy for me to walk around telling everybody, I'm faithful, I'm faithful, I'm faithful. If I die, I'm going to go to heaven. But a faithful man, who can find? There's more to it, folks, than that. I've got another lesson one of these days that I want to present. I'm going to give you just a summary of it right now in conclusion. And it's this: how do we develop faithfulness? How do we develop faithfulness? It's a three-step process. Very simple as far as proclaiming it. Number one, I must develop a good heart. That's the first step. Folks, the Word of God can enter into my heart, and if it is corrupt, if it is vile, if it is deceitful, then the Word of God is going to do absolutely nothing positive in my life. So the first thing that I have to do is I have to develop a good heart. Now the question is, how do I do that, isn't it? Well, there's a bunch of things we can do to cultivate that kind of a heart. Secondly, you and I have to have a burning intensity for the Word of God. I don't find that in many members of the church. I don't find very many members of the church who, away from this building, and sometimes, even after a lesson, who want to talk much about this book. It's not a big deal to them. Don't think about it very much. Folks, I ought to have a burning intensity for the Word of God. Just like a little baby who longs for its mother's milk. That's the kind of intensity that I have to be faithful. And then thirdly, I've got to do due diligence every day of my life in putting the Word of God into practice in everything that I do. Application. Practical application of the Word of God in every situation. Here I am at Walmart. I'm in that long line. They're just as slow as Christmas. I'm already 5 minutes late for my appointment. How do I behave? What does the Bible say? An individual cuts me off and I'm mad as a wet hen, and I pull up right next to him at the red light. What do I do? How about roll down your window? He rolled down his window. And you say, that's okay. I've done it myself. Don't get that very often, do you? He missed two red lights, folks, before he got to go again. I'm talking about practical application of the Word of God in everything we do. It's not enough to be a Christian in this building only. We got to be faithful, folks. A faithful man who can find. Can he find it in you? I pray so. If you've not become a Christian, you're not faithful. Won't you do that this morning? We told you what you need to do at the beginning of the lesson. My friend, if you're not been faithful, if you've not been steadfast, if you've not been sure, if you've not been firm, if you've not been trustworthy, if you've not been executing the commands of God, if you've not been doing, you need to repent and ask God to forgive you. Won't you come as together we stand and sing?